T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Want to put your baseball skills to the test? Then get ready to show your stuff with MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Sign up for free for a chance to play your way to the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 World Series. Visit pitchhitrun.com today.
Welcome back to the second guest show. Mike Dottiglia, Bobby Hebert. We're at the WWL studios here downtown in New Orleans. We want to thank the Silver Slipper Casino beachside in Hancock County, Mississippi, for being the main sponsor here on Second Guest. And in saying that, on the line with us now from the Silver Slipper Casino, Mr. Dave Hilbert. Dave, thanks so much for joining us this evening.
Hey,
oh, man, great
Dave,
to be here.
What's up?
All right, Dave,
All good, man. All good. Get ready for the Tampa Bowl.
There you go. How long was the line Sunday morning for the gambling?
Oh, man, it was huge. You know, it always is. But it's been a great year at the Silver Slipper Sportsbook.
I thought about you when I woke up that morning. I said, man, you better get up real early if you want to place a quick bet at the slipper, because I've been in a couple of those lines for other occasions. But, man, that's just awesome. Dave, kind of tell everybody a little bit about some of the giveaways that are happening at the Silver Slipper in January and now almost into the month of March. I mean, it's February, excuse me.
Yeah, this is every last Saturday of the month we give away a vehicle, and this coming Saturday, January 30th at 9 p.m., we're giving away a brand new Ford Explorer. It's a nice car, and we're going to have football boards for the Super Bowl. You can start earning your square for the Super Bowl board starting this Saturday through Super Bowl Sunday.
And T-Boy's going to pick the give you the score, right?
Well, I hope so.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
You better put that text in now.
Yeah.
Well, you better text me, and then you know the drill.
Yeah, I know. I know the drill.
Even though it's in the NFC South, I am not going against Tom Brady because a lot of people go against Tom Brady and they get burnt. Now you know you can the point spread whatever come about, but Tom Brady and the Bucks are underdogs. But Dave, when you were watching the games, you know you're excited because we like football. We wish the Saints were there. But didn't it seem like, boy, you didn't want to leave your seat watching the Tampa Bay Bucs and the Packers versus the second game? It was like ho-hum. To me, the Chiefs and the Bills were ho-hum compared to that Bucs-Packers game.
Oh, no, it was like you're sitting there in disbelief like he's going to do it. He's going first year, he's going to take them Tampa to the Super Bowl and his 10th Super Bowl. I mean, it's just an incredible story. And he's a good guy.
And to see their defense, which has really played well, and then Leonard Fournette, you know, man, him and Ronald Jones, they give you a 1-2 punch running the football. And finally it got through his thick head with Bruce Arians, who didn't want to run the football early in the season. And I don't know if it's Leftwich, the coordinator, or if it was Brady, whatever. But somebody got to him to say, hey, coach, we just can't have Brady out here slinging it. We got to have a semblance of a running game. And I thought that that was a big part. Their defense and the running game was a big part of that success down the stretch.
Yeah, wait, Devin White from LSU, what a stud linebacker turned out to be. My God, unbelievable.
You know, Dave, when I look at the Bucs earned their franchise record 8 consecutive road victory to reach the Super Bowl, I said that in itself, just how hard it is to win on the road. You could say fans or no fans. But to me, that was a great accomplishment because no one thought that Tampa Bay, we even thought maybe, I don't know, the Redskins could maybe pull off an upset depending on they could be +2 in the turnover margin or something like that. But you got to give the Bucs a lot of credit because, look, they beat the Washington football team. beat the Saints, who were one of the favorites, and then you win at Green Bay. And the weather obviously was not a factor. So I think Tom Brady has something to do with that. Considering, Mike, when was the last time? Almost two decades since they last won their Super Bowl, 2002.
Consider this, and sometimes stats don't tell you the whole story, but last year they turned the football over 41 times. This year, 18. Now, when you can cut your turnovers in half, in more than half, man, that's huge. And that was a big part of the problem with the Buccaneers. You know, they got a lot of the same talent that they had a year ago.
So, Mike, what I'm saying, and Dave, do you think if Jameis Winston's the guy, can Sean Payton turn Jameis Winston a third? Maybe instead of 30 picks, have about maybe 8 or 9. I mean, think that would be possible.
I'm saying no.
No.
You got two no's to it.
He would have maybe, if he cuts it even in half, maybe 15 to 20 instead of 30. I don't know.
I would lean much more toward that one
than the
one-digit numbers. Yeah. Right, yeah. Because, listen, I think you are who you are as a player. You're not going to change a lot of that no matter what. I think you are who you are. I just think it's part of his game. And I told you the story before she passed away, Gay Culverhouse. Her dad owned the team. She was the president of the Bucks before they sold it to the Glazers. And she was like, Mike, I've seen, Jameis Winston before. We had a guy just like him. He was Vinny Testaverde. And she said, when we got rid of Vinny, he started for 6 other teams in the NFL. But the one thing stayed the same. He had high interception rates. And she said, that's just something about judgment, where to go with the football, and accuracy that I don't care who you are, you can't teach it. Either you have it or you don't. You can get a little bit better at it, but it's always going to be that feature of knowing where to go with the football, your accuracy, and your touch with the football. And, like she said, listen, Vinny didn't have it here, but he didn't have it at the other 6 places, and he ended up starting. So,
yeah, he ended up playing a long time.
A long time.
Because he could spin it. He's big
and strong.
And
he could spin it just like what Jameis could.
And he's big and strong.
And he's a big guy.
And now, Dave, you look in your crystal ball 2021 season. Now, obviously, we're familiar with Taysom Hill and Jameis Winston. Now, what quarterback that you would want? Now, you got to be realistic. You can't just say, Deshaun Watson or something. You have to look at what is feasible. Who would be a guy you would like to see to lead the Saints in 2021?
Oh, man, that's a tough one. I still Taysom has a shot to be the guy.
You're a Taysom Hill fan. I forgot that.
I am. I'm a Taysom Hill fan. I mean, he needs to brush up on some things. Hopefully he learned a lot getting to play when Drew was hurt. But, he looked good when he replaced Drew for those 4 or 5 games.
Dave, got some breaking news that happened a few minutes ago, but it looks as though Ed Orgeron has found his defensive coordinator, and it's Durante Jones, who is the secondary coach with the Minnesota Vikings. Now, it's been a long time since I've seen Durante, but he helped coach the secondary at Nicholls State back in 2002. Darryl Day was the head coach at Nicholls at that time. And then he ended up being a high school coach, Generette and at Franklin. So he stayed in that St. Mary Parish area to be there. And, man, listen, he got some W-2s for him all over the place.
He coached at Hawaii, Wisconsin, University of Wisconsin.
You think about the Hawaii connection, Norm Chow, who Coach O had coached with at USC and knows very well. He coached the secondary for Norm at Hawaii. And in Wisconsin, the connection, Dave Aranda.
Yeah, and then you look at also
he's been with the Bengals and now with the Vikings.
The Bengals, I'm going to say Dolphins and the Vikings he was on. Now, you might say, he was on the Vikings defense. They were terrible. That was 1 year. They had a lot of injuries and players that they lost. But the Vikings have always been noted to have one of the better defenses in the NFL.
One of the things, this was a few weeks back, Coach Rod and I had taken a ride to talk to Coach O. And he was good enough. We had a charity that was asking him to sign some stuff, and Ed was like, "Hey, Mike, you still got people that want my signature on something?" I said, "Yeah, it's unbelievable, but yeah." And man, he really sort of kicked a little bit about the fact that the big plays in the secondary, and now you're bringing in a guy, and his specialty is in the secondary. He was a coordinator at Bowie State, but I mean, come on, that's a big jump. But the connected dots there, certainly with Norm Chow at Hawaii, Dave Aranda at Wisconsin, and coaching in the National Football League, you can't give up the big plays in the secondary like you saw, game in, game out. And so I think that's a big part of bringing Durante back. But he's got a Bayou connection. He didn't grow up on the Bayou. He went to Lenoir Rhine. That's a right. Far place from Nicholls State University, so to speak. And so it looks as though that they are very, very close to making that deal done with Durante, who, like I said, we knew each other pretty well years and years ago. But, man, it's been a long time since we've kept up.
Well, and also, Mike, they got to hire also other position coaches, I believe. Don't be surprised now on the back end to help out Corey Raymond, Brett Maxey, who was part of the Dome Patrol. He was at University of Colorado as of late. He was at IMG before. He has over 20 years of NFL experience coaching. His background was with Dom Capers, who coached the defensive backs of the Dome Patrol, Coach Mara's son, JL, I'm talking about with the Carolina Panthers, the 49ers, even Atlanta, Tampa Bay. So Brett Maxey, who was really the quarterback of the back end of the defense, would tell Gene Atkins what to do all the time, not some of the time, all the time, that if he don't have an opportunity now to compliment Corey Raymond on the back end and be at safety's coach.
Dave, tell everybody, certainly the Oyster Bar is open Wednesday through Sunday, and number one buffet on the Mississippi Gulf Coast.
Serving a crab leg 7 days a week.
Wow. Okay. Man, we miss him, Dave.
Don't forget. The drawing this Saturday night, 9 o'clock, for the Ford Explorer. Come on down, especially if you're from Slidell.
Yeah, you stole it right out of from me. Dave, thanks so much, brother. We really appreciate it.
Okay, man. Talk to y'all next Monday.
All righty. Mr. Dave Hilbert from the Silver Slipper. We'll be back with more Second Guess right after this break here on the Big 870. We're back here on the Second Guest Show. Mike DeTeo, Bobby Hebert, the WWL studios here downtown in New Orleans. Bob, again, repeating, looks as though Coach O has settled in on a defensive coordinator, Durante Jones. Certainly got some connections here. Was, again, the secondary coach. He helped coach the safeties at Nicholls State in 2002. Darryl Day was the head coach at that time, and then he went on to become a high school coach at Generet and then at Franklin. And then that's the last I saw of him. I heard about him. You know, he was at UCLA. He was at Hawaii. He was at Bowie State, Wisconsin. The next thing you know, I see he's the secondary coach with the Bengals, and then the last couple of years has been with the Minnesota Vikings. So,
Mike, I got a question now to play devil's advocate. How would he work with Corey Raymond? Would Corey Raymond feel that he was slighted to be the defensive coordinator? Said, okay, why would you go against me if we have kind of the same kind of background? I've been here at LSU. Now, I'm just giving you my opinion. I think Corey Raymond is an outstanding recruiter above and beyond board, but not necessarily.
I think he's the best recruiter they have on that squad. There's no doubt about
but
it.
But not necessarily an X and O's guy as far as strategy if you're running a whole defense.
And two is, I don't know the full relationship he had with Bill Bush, who was the safeties coach.
Right.
Because, you know, you got to work hand in hand with Bill, who I thought was a very good recruiter. I thought Bill was a really good recruiter. And, the one thing, it is what it is with Bo Pelini, but he was hard-headed. You know, he was going to do things his way. It didn't matter if it worked or not.
And also to diversify his staff. In this day and age, it does not hurt to have an African-American coach. You know, you're trying to
– and I want a young coach.
Yes.
You know,
who can relate to the younger players who you're recruiting. because we all know what happened in the summer with the protests and all that. You don't want any friction. You want all for one, one for all.
I just think it's great to have some experience on the staff. Okay, when you look at the resume of Durante, man, he could fill a room up with W-2s. That's what happens when you're a coach. You bounce around.
He's like a military brat all over the country.
You go from one school to the next, and you pick up different things from different coaches. But I do think bringing in a young coach that can relate to today's players, he's in his
Without
early 40s, I think is a big part of it
Without a doubt.
In this business. And also, too, the energy level. You're not just coaching. You're recruiting 24/7, 52 weeks out the year. Man, it takes a – man, I know Coach O is, what, 60 years old?
No,
but he got the energy of a much younger guy.
He's going to be 60.
Okay.
Yeah. So he's a year younger than me. And, yeah, no, he has the energy like he's 20 years younger. He is like the Pete Carroll college football as far as his energy. Like, does anybody view – Pete Carroll is 70 years old.
As an old pops in his business, no.
People view Pete Carroll like he's 50 instead of 70.
The other coaching.
And then when he was 60, he was like 40.
Yeah. And the other coaching news is looks as though everything's in place and that Joe Lombardi will be the new offensive coordinator with the L.A. Chargers. Brandon Staley now, the new head coach there, is a defensive-oriented coach. Was a defensive coordinator with the Rams. They have a connection, long time college connection. So, again, no surprise that.
Well, he was the quarter. You know, it's a promotion. He's the quarterback coach for the Saints. Now he gets to be the offensive coordinator for the Chargers. You know, Pete Carmichael has that title, offensive coordinator, and that's not changing.
Nope.
I mean, so Coach Lombardi. Listen, he's been a big part of those offensive meeting rooms and the game plan. He's seen a lot, witnessed a lot. You know, I guarantee you, at some time the Saints probably picked his brain about Matthew Stafford because he was with the Saints.
He was the coordinator.
And he went
there.
To Detroit. It didn't work out. He came back to the Saints. So I guarantee one guy I know, Mike, wouldn't it make sense – that you talk, okay, Coach Lombardi.
That conversation has been had somewhere along the line.
For sure, without a doubt.
Absolutely. We're going to go back to our WWL Talk and Text line. Big John in Mid-City. Big John, you're in the huddle with Bobby and Mike.
Well, good afternoon, gentlemen. How are you today?
All right, Big John.
Yeah, good, good.
Listen, I made 4 points last week, and with the Super Bowl now set, I'm going to make four observations about the championship games yesterday, and this is going to come purely from the standpoint of a member of the Hoodad Nation who is absolutely seething that the Buccaneers are in the Super Bowl and we are not. And first and foremost, that with all due respect to Drew and to favorite son Peyton Manning, you have to tip your hat to Tom Brady and say that he's the greatest quarterback ever to play the position. And I say this with the full understanding that he, in the end, had very little to do with the Buccaneers winning the game yesterday with those three turnovers. But great quarterbacks, as we all know, bring their luck with them. And Brady is simply a guy who knows not just how to win, but how to make the people around him win. Because, you know, you can give the credit to Todd Bowles and the Tampa defense that for the second week in a row, bent but never broke. You know, Tom Brady brings a winning spirit with him. And whether you love him or you hate him, you have to simply respect the guy's ability to play the game, but also to make the others play the game around him. And he's going to his ninth Super Bowl. Nobody, you know, was Terry Bradshaw, I think, was the one that had the most after him. That's just
Now, Big John, I thought he's going to his 10th. Is his 10th Super
tenth.
Bowl.
10th yeah. Super Bowl, even more. My second point is that, you know, Tom Brady may be the GOAT, but Patrick Mahomes is the heir apparent to that throne.
Well, he's the young GOAT, maybe.
He's like the junior GOAT, you know, GOAT in training or something.
Yeah, right, GOAT in training.
Watching him against the Saints back on December 20th and then yesterday and throughout the playoffs and just watching his highlight reel. He's the standard of AFC quarterbacks, and that's a pretty high standard because Josh Allen of the Bills yesterday played a pretty decent football game and has a great deal of potential and ability and is only going to improve. You got a great quarterback out in San Diego. Who knows what's going to happen with Tua in Miami? He may or may not work out. There's some serious talent on the AFC side of the ball.
Joe Burrow, now, another one.
Joe Burrow. God help him and let him get well. The third thing I want to mention is that the moment that I saw that the head referee in the Green Bay Tampa game was Al No Call Vinovich, I'm not sure if I'm the only one wondering if there wasn't something rotten in the state of Denmark. And wouldn't you know it, a crew that nearly let everything go for 58 minutes decides to call it tight on one of the most crucial points of the game. You made the point earlier. He was definitely interfering with him. He was pulling the jersey.
Right, it was no obvious pull, yeah.
But if you're going to call it consistently. Don't start swallowing your whistle at the end or deciding to blow the whistle at the end when you called it that way the whole game, because there were a couple, and in fact, one of Aaron Rodgers' interceptions, there was a clear hold on that was not called. And if you're going to call what happened at the end of the game...
You called that at the beginning.
Call it at the beginning. I'm sorry, but I don't know why Vinovich is even on the field after what happened 2 years ago. And as you can tell, I'm still not quite over it. Now, last but not least, now I know Aaron Rodgers has said all the right things in public, and he's been a great teammate in Green Bay this year. But if I were him after yesterday, I would go to Matt LaFleur, Mark Murphy, and Russ Ball. And I'd tell them to take a flying leap into Lake Michigan right now with their clothes off. You know, you draft a quarterback in the first round in April, which is one of the unwritten rules that is broken when you already have a great quarterback. And that call on fourth and goal yesterday, look, should Aaron have run the ball? Absolutely.
On third down, yeah.
You put the ball in the best player's hands at the end of the game to win the game. That's the number one lesson. And basically what Matt LaFleur did was he choked. He didn't show his quarterback respect. And I can't help but think that Aaron Rodgers, after all this, feels he has zero respect for the Packers, and he's looking to go elsewhere. And despite the salary cap issues and the fact that Matthew Stafford would be a great addition to this this team, and I know that Aaron probably wants to go back to California at some point, but if I'm Sean Payton, I'm keeping Aaron Rodgers on the speed dial the moment he makes his decision to, lower
right.
his flag and go somewhere else.
And you know, Big John, Mike, I heard Aaron Rodgers. People say, like, okay, like Matt LaFleur, you know what he said? If they would just say, okay, we're going in a different direction, we're getting rid of Aaron Rodgers, you know, they'd only have to eat with his contract like $5 million. Well, that's really nothing. Watch out. Very like Tom Brady, California-like. What if you put Aaron Rodgers with Coach Shanahan and the 49ers? What? I'm just telling you.
Now, if I'm the Packers and he demands a trade, I'm going to say, listen, I'll deal y'all, but I ain't dealing you
to the 49ers.
In the NFC. I'm not dealing you to the Saints. I'm not dealing you to the 49ers. Now, I'll deal you to Indy.
AFC,
I'll deal you to Indianapolis. And so that's a story there that I think's got some legs, Big John. I really think that you sort of rubbed him the wrong way when you picked Jordan Love. And, you know, they were all singing Kumbaya, you know, at one time. But the way it ended, you got a feeling there's no more singing going on.
Big John, I'm going to just tell you right now, Mike, and this is what I think. We got a text here. Rodgers to the 49ers would be a juggernaut. This is from 5051. I think if Aaron Rodgers somehow would end up with the 49ers, look at how they were snake bit with all the injuries. To me, they'd be the NFC favorite in 2021 just by adding Aaron Rodgers on the 49ers.
Well, I don't know if they'd be the favorite because Brady and the Bucs, Tom is going to return. And there is talk there that also, they're going to try to do something to keep Antonio Brown and Gronkowski there. And with that young defense, that's really good. And figured that they didn't have Vita Vey for a long period of time this season.
But look at the injuries the 49ers had, Mike.
And I just got a feeling that odds makers would probably lean
toward Tampa.
They'd be
like 1-1A. I think they'd be 1-1A.
Well, don't leave our black and gold team out, because if they bring in either Stafford or a big-time quarterback with the weapons we have, and the defense that we do have coming back, don't discount the Saints. We'll be in the mix next year.
Oh, no, we're a wild card team, I think, Big John. Oh, yeah, we want to be more than a wild. We want a five-peat. I don't know. Maybe we have a chance.
But when you put that up, they don't use this no more. They used it when I was – but a slide rule for the Saints. Depending on what happens at quarterback. Because, again, I'm not convinced at all your quarterback is on this roster.
Neither am I.
So right. you gotta be looking. I'll never forget, this is something Hank Stram told me. Hank came here and worked for WWL, basically kind of took Mike Ditka's spot when Mike became the head coach. And one of the things Hank would always and sort of repeat over and over again was the fact that if you make a mistake at that quarterback position, it's going to cost you. And he said, no matter what type of, you know, accolades you had, he said, you know, I had Lynn Dawson, and he said, Lenny was great. But he said, I conned myself into thinking Mike Livingston, who had won some games for us in Kansas City when Lenny got hurt, would eventually be the guy. And he said, you know, it was the con, the ultimate con. I talked myself into it. And he said, I thought I knew a little bit about quarterbacks. And he said, what happens? I got fired because it didn't work out. And it took Lenny got old, they didn't win nothing.
And it took the Chiefs 50 years to recover, and now they're in back-to-back Super Bowls. Think about that. The Chiefs are so irrelevant, and look, because Pat Mahomes, how relevant they are. Mike, back-to-back Super Bowls, and then they didn't get there in 50 years? What?
So,
and
that always sort of rings in my ear. That Stram constantly saying that about, man, I try to tell these young coaches, don't get conned about what you see on a practice field. Don't get conned about that. Man, it's what happens on the real field that matters. On the real field that matters. And he said, I'm telling you, the biggest mistakes in the world in the NFL are made at that quarterback position. And Sean sort of repeated some of that last week in talking about it.
Now, you can say what you want with Patrick Mahomes, and I agree, everything. You can't underestimate what Andy Reid has done with that football team. And that's why I think they're going to be the prohibitive favorite to win the Super Bowl, even with Tom Brady.
I don't think that line's going to move. I think
three and a half.
I think that's where it's basically going to stay. I think there's a lot of respect for Andy Reid and Mahomes and those weapons. The only thing that's scary is your two tackles. And one of them for sure won't play.
Yeah,
and your left tackle.
And they both hurt, though, Mike. Once for sure they're playing, they both hurt.
So that, man, in playing that team, the way they've gotten after.
With Jason Pierre-Paul and Shaq Barrett.
So that is something to keep in mind. If you wagering on it, you can pick whoever you want. But if you're wagering on it, you got to understand they don't have a full offensive line.
And Big John, I was telling Mike earlier in the show when we started out, think how magical it's been when you're dealing with COVID. The pandemic city of champions is Tampa Bay.
That's crazy.
They won the Stanley Cup, then the Major League World Series, and now they're in the Super Bowl and they hosted it. I mean, who would have thunk that? You know, you think about the odds. Now, they don't have an NBA team. Closest team is Orlando the Magic. They don't have an NBA team in Tampa Bay. Think how – I mean, I don't even know what they do in Tampa, if they can even relate, because they're supporting winners. Stanley Cup champion, World Series, Tampa Bay Rays, and I know you lose to the Dodgers, and now Tampa Bay Bucks. I mean, that's unbelievable in one season.
Well, if you cover in sports, it was almost like covering it in Louisiana last year, seeing the success of the Saints in the regular season, seeing the success of LSU win a national championship, Tulane, University of Louisiana, Nicholls State, all those teams. I mean, you know.
But not the Pels.
Not the Pelicans, and they still trailing. But it was a great year to cover it, to be honest with you. Big John, thanks so much for the call, bud.
Hey,
we appreciate it. We'll be back with more Second Guess right after this break on the Big 870. We're back here on the Second Guest Show. Mike to tell you, along with the Cajun Cannon, Bobby Hebert. And want to tell everybody, WWL, they want to hear about your best Mardi Gras memory. Carnival may not be the same this year, but that won't stop the spirit of our community that loves purple, green, and gold. WWL wants to keep you and the good times rolling. And we want you to share your memories of Mardi Gras. And you can go now to WWL.com and look on the front page, latest from Mardi Gras, and find out how you can share your Mardi Gras memory. Bob and I both were the Grand Marshal at Crew of Hercules in Houma, and that's only way one way to party at Crew of Hercules.
The Mad Hatters last year?
We were in the Mad Hatters last year, so we had a great time doing that. And, man, just some great memories passing through with Mad Hatters. And was that the first year of Mad Hatters?
The first year. Then they couldn't have it. They're not going to have it this year.
Can't have it this year.
Because of COVID.
But, man, we had a great time. Man, people lined the streets. It was unreal to see. Hercules is that first turn in Houma. When you make that turn because you parked and then you make that turn and it's just that sea of people like, you know, 10, 12, 15 deep when you first getting into Houma, you're like, wow, man, they got some pimps. And SP was great to us too. SP La Russa and Mike, man, they were a living legend. And Edwin Edwards and Brandon Jacobs followed you. You did it, and then they did it.
Right.
And then I came, I think, the following year. So we had some great times. So you can give us your Mardi Gras members on WWL.com. We're going to go to Thomas in Lakeview on our WWL talk and text line. So, Thomas, you're in the huddle with Bobby and Mike.
Gentlemen, good evening. Thank you for taking my call. It's ironic that I am following Big John from Mid-City because he and I matriculated from the same school on Carrollton and Banks back in 1986.
Jesuit Blue Jays.
He was a lot shorter back then, wasn't he?
it's really ironic because, you know, a lot of times when he gets on the air, I normally turn the damn radio off. But luckily for you gentlemen, I am not as nearly as loquacious and verbose as Big John from Mid-City, okay?
Well, he's a professor.
But make no mistake, he's a cool young man, yeah? All right.
We get that. We get it.
So he kind of stole my thunder. I was calling about Matthew Stafford and wanted to get y'all's opinion on, you know, what's the probability of that happening and how much he's going to cost and so on and so forth. So I'm going to hang up real quick and get y'all to answer that. I would love to see that. I think it's a perfect fit, to be honest with you. And, hey, Fitz, AMDG, my brother.
All right. Thank you, Thomas. We appreciate it. You're going to have competition for Matthew Stafford, and it'll cost you more than a first-round pick. Because of where you pick 28th. And so it's going to cost you something more than a first-round pick to acquire Matthew.
Well, and Mike, if you look at it, and to show you, it wasn't like he came out of nowhere. Drafted number one overall back in 2009. Now, you can figure out the numbers. He has 2 years left on a $135 million five-year contract. So you have him under contract. So it's not like, whether you extend the contract, whatever. But
and you can add years to the contract and almost, like, I guess you want to call it dummy years.
But that just goes to show you that's a significant number. When you look at 3 years ago, Mike, he got a $135 million contract and not winning anything with the Lions. But it goes back.
Okay, who was the last guy in Michigan to win a championship?
Like professionally?
You.
Oh, yeah.
You didn't forgot about that?
No, I thought you meant NFL Bobby Lane.
No, Bobby Lane, but you won it for the Michigan Panthers.
Yeah, and they still embrace me in Michigan because they'd always bring up, oh, the last time we won a football professional championship here, Bobby Lane, it was either 58 or 59, you know, some University of Texas, and then we won it in 83 and throw into the great Anthony Carter, AC, out of the University of Michigan. No, Mike, we had – now think about this. This would be blasphemy in this day and age how popular the NFL is. We had more fans in the stands than the Lions.
That doesn't surprise me.
Than the NFL team. Now, that's because we won the championship playing in an old Pontiac Silverdome.
And, man, I don't know if Bobby Lane put a curse on that team, but there is always, you know.
But, Mike, I think he did. Somehow, I think almost like Babe Ruth, they got rid of him.
Yeah.
Or somebody said the Lions will never win again. And they have.
That was him venting, but, he made his call like Ruth pointing to the stands on that particular deal. Man, and that's a job that – That's difficult. Real difficult to win.
If Dan Campbell wins with the Lions, and I love Dan Campbell, if Dan Campbell now, Mike, this would be the ultimate underdog Super Bowl. The Detroit Lions versus the Cleveland Browns. When you consider trying to weather the storm.
All I know is the Browns are a lot closer than the Lions.
And the Browns were successful, Jim Brown, before the Super Bowl, even in the early 60s.
No, even into the 50s.
Yeah, they were relevant. They couldn't overtake the Broncos. Even that Bernie Kosar, late 80s, early 90s, they were really good amongst the best in the AFC. They couldn't beat the Broncos and John Elway.
We all think about Kevin Mack. You know, against that ball on the fumble, you know, they look in the score.
On the 4-yard line.
And then Elway's drives. Good gracious. Talk about rip your heart out. That if you were a Browns fan, that ripped it.
Clay Matthews, the dad, not the son who was the stud of Green Bay, played in like Cleveland like 18 years. He came to Atlanta. No, he would tell me how good the team's so close, but so far, kind of like Jim Kelly and Biscuit Cornelius Bennett. You know, with the Bills and not winning anything. Four straight Super Bowls.
And you didn't win.
And didn't win one.
Ow. We'll be back with more Second Guess right after this break on the Big 870. Finishing up here on hour number two of the Second Guest Show, Willie Rofe will join us in the 6 o'clock hour. Bob, again, I don't think that line of 3.5 points are going to move much. I think that's pretty much settled. That's what you're looking at. And if it's 3.5, I'd feel a little bit better. You know, if I'm a Chiefs fan, 3 points, you can see kind of where that's going. But
now,
I think you're going to have some heavy money on Tom Brady and the Bucs.
Well, I would not. Nobody think there's blasphemy being in the NFC South. I would not have a problem with Tampa Bay winning the Super Bowl. You know it would be crazy? Because the last time they won the Super Bowl, guess what? The Saints beat them twice. What happened this season? We beat them twice in a regular season. The reason why I don't have a problem with Tampa Bay winning, you know why? Because they already won a Super Bowl. And you know what? Atlanta and Carolina has not. Now, you would say, well, Bobby, what about they're going to have two Super Bowl wins and we only have one? That'd be the only negative. But Alan, I will not bet against Tom Brady.
We'll be back with more Second Guess and Willie Rofe right after this news break on the Big 870.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. T-Mobile.com.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
O'Reilly!